The Floor Academy podcast is sponsored by Trilama, the trade labor marketplace, where businesses can find skilled trade labor, such as flooring installers, and where flooring installers and other skilled tradespeople can find permanent or project work. You can set up your profile at Trilama.com, TRALAMA.com, or download the app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. And remember, Trilama is always free for skilled tradespeople. Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hedin, owner of Illustrious Hardwoods in Phoenix, Arizona. We are here talking with flooring professionals from all across the country about the issues that matter to you. I want to encourage you to learn while you earn. This week's guest is Shannon Huffstickler. Shannon, previously the Tile Girl and now the Schluter Girl, has run her own tiling business and is now the social media community liaison for Schluter Systems. We discuss the importance of communities. Whether you are participating nationally, internationally, or locally, it can have an effect on you as an individual, your business, and even the local community you live in outside of your trade. Listen in to hear what your participation means and how it can help you grow. Shannon Huffstickler, are you on the line?
I am.
Awesome. Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's 100% my pleasure. This one has been one that obviously you participate heavily in the online community, and I know you exist, and I was like, I should interview her. And then it just kind of like, it gets pushed and pushed, and I'm like, yeah, she's there. Like, if I really need one, I'll just reach out, and I know I can set that up. And so it's kind of a bad thing, but I think the show's more established now, and so maybe now's the right time.
That's fine, and I don't mind if people take it for granted that I'm always around. That means I'm doing something right if people believe that. Always around, always available.
I think sometimes people don't even want to learn who their local rep is because they're like, oh, Shannon will answer it. Shannon will deal with it. That's okay. Like, we'll just go bother her.
I tried to redirect that whenever possible because I couldn't possibly care for everyone the way I would like them to be cared for if I tried to do it myself. I have to hand people off to their local, even if I don't want to, or even if they don't want it to happen. In everyone's best interest.
Those relationships need to be built. So they're there for a reason.
Right.
But for people who don't know who you are, so let's not skip this part. Who are you? What have you done? What do you do now? And let's go with like the 30,000 foot view.
Right. Let me qualify myself for being here, right?
I don't think that needs to happen, but they might be interested in a little bit of who you are.
Sure. Okay. Well, I am, my name is Shannon Huffstickler. I don't know if you said that. People have difficulty with my last name sometimes. And I work for Schluter Systems North America. I am their social media community liaison, which is a lengthy title, that basically means I'm responsible for relating to the people in the online communities and connecting them with whatever resources we have that they need. So it's essentially a customer service type position. I've been in that position only for officially, just over a year, I think. Okay. But I've been with Schluter for just over eight and a half years. I was a territory manager for them in my home area, which is New Jersey, New York metro area. I did that for about, 7 years or so for them. And before that, I was in my previous life, the Tile Girl. I think now I'm the Schluter Girl, but before I was the Tile Girl, and I was a tile installer. I had my own business, here in New Jersey. And I don't know how far back we want to go before that. I was a helper for my father and my uncle, who also set tile.
Apprentice. You were an apprentice.
Apprentice, yeah, I know. The word helper is becoming a quickly becoming a bad word, and
that's
my goal. Correct my I know, and it's I think it's a worthwhile goal, and it's something I've been working on correcting in my language, but it's like it's so ingrained after you know, using it that way for so long. So I was an apprentice to my father and my uncle for a couple of years. When I was a wee lass, I wasn't really that wee. I was in my late 20s when I came to it. That's the history of that. There was lots of other lives lived before that, but that's how I came to the flooring and tile industry.
Hey,
that was my route.
It's sometimes you just kind of fall into something, you know. I needed something to do, so I went through a bunch of options of what I could figure out I was good at, and I settled on wood flooring and cold called 30 contractors and got involved when I was 32. So.
Okay.
Sometimes you screw up for a really long time before you find something that works.
Oh, well, I honestly, I think that everything I did, even up to that point, that was not related to the tile industry, prepared me for the position that I have now.
Yes.
So no regrets, no screw ups, no regrets.
Definitely
know?
Not.
I think, but it definitely, the path, it wasn't, you know, when I was a young girl, I did not aspire to be a tile setter or a sales rep for a manufacturing a company. this was not the plan, you know? So I definitely, it was a winding road for sure.
Not everybody gets the straight path. That's
Right. Right. I wouldn't know what to do with a straight path. That would probably bore me, but yeah.
I got to learn. I'm the guy that learns the hard way. I got to screw it up and in like the worst way possible and be like, "Oh, okay.
That's, redirect.
Got it. Okay. We'll figure it out from here. Oh, I screwed up again. All right. Well, what are we going to learn this time?"
Yeah. Well, as long as you land on your feet, those kind of errors are just, you know, par for the course.
Exactly. All right. Well, I like it. You know, there's a lot of things in there. So we previously had a conversation.
We did.
And we had a couple. And so I knew this time we had to start recording right away, because otherwise we'd go on forever and talk like old friends. And I'd love to do that again, but then we would still be without a podcast.
That.
Yes.
Right. I wish we had recorded some of our previous conversation. It was a good talk.
Correct. So you had stated that you're jealous of the online communities a little bit and the information that is being shared. And I think that's, it's good, right? Like you can see that there's a positive influence happening there. So let's dig into that a little bit. Like why some jealousy? I don't know. It's not resent. And it's definitely not that you would change anything, I don't think, but there's, you know, there's obviously some things that could have changed in your life had it been available to you, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. And things still every day that, you know, as I'm, you know, poking around and scrolling through all the different groups that I'm a member of, I learn something every day still that I, you know, could have applied in my previous, you know, occupation for sure. And jealous is, you know, it's a little bit of an ugly word, but there are moments where, you know, I'll watch an up and coming tile setter kind of come to a crossroad, whether it's a job, you know, some application that they've never, you know, seen before and they're not sure what to do, or some, you know, resource that, you know, they need to get a hold of to move forward. And I watch how fast they're able to acquire those things. And I start to feel like, man, God, like they got it so good, you know, like, and I'm excited for them. So, you know, jealous in the sense that You know, it's just I'm so impressed with the massive knowledge that's available, you know, like instantly.
Yes.
Via the social media groups. I mean, the internet in general, for sure. But especially the social media groups, because those are your peers, you know, so it's like a shortcut, you know, because you can go to a, you know, you can go to a website and get information and then go out and try, you know, try it. But to be able to have access to people who, you know, are doing the same thing as you are every day, who maybe have already gone to that website and tried it and found which parts of it, you know, went well and when and what fit and what didn't. And, you know, there's a level of trust with your peers that you don't get from like an article online, right? It's like correct. It's been vetted by someone whose opinion you value. And it's so like this super hyper fast shortcut to the best parts of exactly what you need, you know? And I watch it happen all the time and it's like, it's so exciting. And, you know, if I had that, you know, I could have, you know, would my path have been different? I mean, who knows, you know, but what I know for sure is that it would have spared me a lot of head scratching, you know, maybe I could have gotten to the places that I got faster. You know, just a lot of heartache, a lot of stress, a lot of confusion, maybe even some costly, you know, mistakes that wouldn't have been made. So I'm jealous in that sense, you know, because they have all these benefits that, you know, they can just get there faster, you know, and more efficiently, or it's just a lot of heartache being spared, I think.
Oh, I agree. Right. Whether it's tools that make the job easier, techniques that are going to make you stand out from other people in your area, how to use products differently and better properly, whatever it's going to be on that case.
Business practices,
business, how to run your business, how to manage, like just in general, the information that's being shared amongst these groups through the podcasts is unbelievable. And you can see, like you said, you can see people leveling up so much faster. And with that also comes like, that's great. In my opinion, I think that's what we need is we need more successful people competing towards the higher end of the market to make the trades look sexy again. My mother-in-law just had the plumber over while we're here for Christmas. And yes, this is coming out in February and I'm recording at Christmas. Settle down, guys. It's okay. There was roots in her drain. He was here about 30 minutes. He had to run the tool through 6 times, $250. And there's guys in my area removing tile for 90 cents, installing tile and laminate for like $1 a square foot. Mm-hmm. You don't need to, please. Like you're worth more. Your body's worth more, you know? And so this information is getting passed and we're getting more people to move up and bring respect to themselves and to what can be charged. And then they're doing it with better techniques and they're doing it properly and following directions. And that's all fine and dandy. And then on the other side, you have a bunch of old heads that are saying, hey, you can't do that. Hey, stop. Hey, don't, you can't share that. Hey, why are you doing that? You're going to tell them how to do it. And like, I don't know. It's, if you keep it a secret, it's going to kill it in my opinion, which it's like it's not a double-edged sword. It's just a bad attitude in my opinion. Like just because it wasn't easy for you doesn't mean we shouldn't make it easy for somebody else.
Yeah, well, and I see those guys, I guess, you know, I mean, I spend so much of my time in the groups where, you know, the people who show up for those interactions are kind of already over that bridge. You know, those guys that don't want to share knowledge generally don't turn up in those groups. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what it's about, right?
Correct.
So, like, I don't encounter those types often, but I do know, you know, that they exist and that there's a certain amount of, like, you know, information that's sort of, like, they, I don't know what you call it, like, they covet it, you know, and they protect it. And I think, you know, I think I think it's good for there to be some barriers to entry, or, you know, there, I think that it's good, you know, for people to not move too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through their like evolution as a craft person, you know, I think there's a value in paying your dues. There's a value in, you know, struggling a little bit, you know, it sort of separates, you know, the, I'm going to say the boys from the men, you know, but the cream needs to be forced to the top somehow.
Correct.
I think that's a good thing, you know. Yes. But I think that when someone, and this is a little bit like what we got into in our previous conversation about viewing your peers as your competition, you know, and that is a mistake. And I think that's at the heart of what you're saying is, you know, to kind of understand that there's a community that we belong to that needs to evolve, and like in order to thrive, there has to be this passing of the baton that happens.
For sure. Well, and that's where the apprentice, you know, thing comes in.
Right. And so I think when you have people that are, you know, being possessive about their knowledge, usually that's, you know, it's a fear thing, you know. Mm-hmm. They're viewing the young dogs as, you know, they're afraid of being replaced. You know, they're afraid that if they, you know, tell people how they do what they do, that those people are going to do it, and then they won't be needed anymore. You know, it's not an unfounded fear altogether, but, you know, there has to be this kind of graceful stepping back that a lot of people are, you know, afraid to do. It's like, you know, to let the young guys come in and, you know, do their thing.
I think there's that. And I think there's a lot of guys and gals that have trained people over the years. And, you know, it's that, look, I had 2 years experience before I went out on my own. I knew how to use the tools before I started. I got my 2 years experience. That's what the state said I needed to get a license. I went out on my own. Have I run into a ton of issues where I have questions all the time and I'm thankful for these groups? Oh, heck yeah. But it's that fear that, right, you're going to have this guy, you're going to teach him some stuff. He's going to run out on his own because he wants the big check, and then he's going to screw up all these projects, and you're going to have the failures and all of that. But I think that's going to go back to training them right from the beginning to how to properly do things. And then if you're charging accordingly, you can pay them well enough that they don't have to leave. So there's the system's been broken for so long.
There's a lot of planets that have to align.
Well, yes. And we can get there, but they're scared because they've had so many guys leave that. Why do I want to train people? I see it all the time. I don't train anybody anymore. I just work by myself. It's easier. They all leave. They all quit. Nobody wants to work hard.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, people are like, oh, we have an installer shortage. We can't find anybody. Well, okay. Granted, yes, I've tried to hire young kids and it's hard to find people that want to do what we do. It's hard. I get that. They're out there. But you might have to go through 100 of them and suffer 99 losses before you get the win. But that win, if you can change a kid's life and get him in the trades and turn him into a craftsman, like, that's such a big win, in my opinion, that it's worth the 99 losses.
Yeah, well, and it's the long-term win, you know, and it's not about you always either, you know. Mm-hmm. I listened to one of your previous episodes with Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about, you know, train them to leave you, but treat them well enough that they don't.
Correct.
You know, that's and I it. Think that's a great mantra. You know, I was lucky that my father, you know, well, he was my father, right? So he was invested in my success from the parental point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so he probably had more forgiveness and patience for my mistakes and my missteps than your average employer, you know? But I think, you know, one thing that, you know, I'm always grateful for is that he recognized his own limitations in what he was going to be able to pass on to me because of the way he came to the career. It was the second career for him. He came to it late in life, kind of just made a decision that he wanted to be a tile guy and then went about the business of becoming one, you know. Okay. That was his path. And so when we got to the place where I started to, you know, claim myself as a tile setter, you know, because initially it was just like, I'll do this for a while until I, you know, go get my real job, you know. But I think he saw that, you know, I started to have a passion for it and that maybe I was kind of good at it, you know, but more importantly, that I really liked it and that I was planning on sticking with it. And what he said to me was, you know, you need to, like, I'm only going to be able to give you my limited experience and knowledge. You're going to, like, to really succeed, you're going to need even more than what I can give you, you know, and started directing me toward, like, other resources, you know, where I could acquire that stuff. That's how I ended up, you know, in the social media world, right? Because okay. He was like, go to John Bridge, go to Floors Transformed, check out, you know, the Floor Elf, check out, you know, like he showed me all these other places where I would be able to acquire knowledge from people other than just him too. So I kind of came, I don't know if I'm getting off track from what we were trying to say. I want to reel myself back in here, but I think, you know, that desire to see someone succeed because you want them to succeed, not because they're yours and you're trying to keep them, right? Like that building up of someone, not just for your own purposes.
Yes.
You know, because I think that's part of what happens, like when guys limit what you teach your apprentices. It's like, you know, don't teach them too much so that they become self-sufficient. Teach them only what you need to teach them so that they can do what you need them to do. It's like, it's a, you know, it's a really like self-centered approach, as opposed to being more open and thinking like, you know, in the larger sense, here is a potential, you know, tradesperson who's going to be looking to, you know, provide for themselves and their family with this trade. Let me give them what they need to be able to do that, like, cause it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I mean? And then your business relationship with them, whether they remain your apprentice, become your competition, become a partner, whatever, you know, is almost a separate thing, or at least maybe should be.
Well, so, I mean, you've got, I want to address, like you said, like people will only teach them what they need to know to like keep them there, which let's be clear that if we're training somebody up, right, like you need to train them in a certain way so that they learn in stages. We're not just going to say like, okay, you go mix that stuff and then you slap it on here like this and then you stick it to the wall. Like, no, at first you have to start and you work them in slowly, right? They're going to learn to mix the grout, or they're going to learn how to do basic cuts and how to sweep a room and prep it. And like, you're going to work them all the way up through it, but don't cheat them and not teach them the whole thing. Okay. That
right.
We need to get them there, and then we need to help them succeed. Like you said, like you can't, don't hold them back because you're scared of them leaving. If they want to go compete in the market next to you, if you did your job right, they should be raising the bar, not bringing it down, which means you don't have competition at that point. You have somebody you can partner up with in the future. And that's, I mean, this is a good transition point into getting into the other things that we've talked about, is if you can find businesses to partner with in your community, there's no stopping you. Who knows, man? Maybe you get offered some lucrative apartment remodel contract, but you've got to be able to pump out like 4, 5, 6 showers a week. If you're by yourself, you're not doing that. And if you look at everybody in your area as competition to you, you're not getting that contract. But if you can find 4 or 5 other guys to go in on it with and say, look, we can split the money, we're going to do it this way, and you lead the way, you can get that lucrative contract, knock it out of the park, and maybe start getting more and find other businesses that you can partner up with. But there's a breakdown, and I know it because I'm part of it. I am in this online world, and it's nationally and it's internationally, and I'm participating in it just because I found it. And I love that I have friends all across the country. I went and hung out with a buddy, Nate Hall, yesterday on a job site. We sat there and talked for like an hour and a half. It was awesome. So it's great knowing people all over the place, but I don't know hardly anybody in my local market. So nationally I'm set. Locally I'm screwed. And I just, right. I haven't built those relationships out yet. And it's almost backwards. It's good that I've found the community I have. It's helped me grow my business. It's helped me grow as an installer. But if I were to get offered one of those lucrative contracts, I'd be screwed. And so I think there's the development of the national community still, but a lot of guys need to scale it back and get involved in their local communities.
Well, if that's what you're looking for, you know, like, to be able to do that, you know, cause there's definitely, you know, there's definitely different business models, right? Like some people aren't set up to handle a job of that scope and they're okay with it. Right. Like they've found their comfort zone. They want it to be, you know, just them and, you know, their apprentice.
Correct.
And then other people are, you know, are looking to grow. But I mean, that's something that I definitely struggled with. It was like, okay, do I want to stay where I'm at? You know, just me and a helper, because that's pretty comfy. You know, that's a comfortable place to stay as far as like your day to day, right? Like just your one employee, yes. You know,
it's easy to manage.
It's easy to manage. Right. But if you want to, you know, grow your business to be bigger, to take on bigger jobs, you know, potentially make more money, whatever. There's a lot to it. And some people don't want that, you know. My father is a great example of that. You know, like I'm the only employee that my father could ever really, you know, be comfortable investing in, because of like what you said before, you know, people coming and going, and, you know, you take somebody in, you teach them a few things, and then they go off and they leave you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's a lot of trial and error, right? Like not everybody can be good at it. So you bring them in, you go through the trouble of trying them on and it doesn't work out. And it's, you know, anyway, but I think if you're somebody that's looking to grow your business beyond what you're capable of, you know, take the occasional, you know, big job and utilize your local community, then yeah, you need to get plugged in and find out who those people are and start having conversations with them. You know, start getting together for a beer and a burger, you know, once a month with the guys that, you know, are bidding on the same jobs as you. Well, and that's a scary thing for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the social media, just to kind of lead this where I believe we want to go with it, right? Like it, as far as we're talking about social media, this my wheelhouse, why I'm here talking to you, is, you know, you see, you know, some group like, let's say, Tile Geeks, right? Where you've got, you know, X number of members, huge group, people all over the country, all over North America, some from other countries. Awesome to have connection to all of that experience, to be able to ask questions, get quick answers. But like you said, when you bring it back to your local community, it's like, what can you really do with this that's gonna help your day-to-day business grow in your local community? How do you raise the bar in your local community so that you don't have, you know, guys bidding on the same job miles apart in their pricing, you know? And how do you have discussions with those people that are open, you know, where it's like, listen, you know, we could raise the bar here so that we're all making what we need to make. You don't need to decrease your profit margin on that job just to get the job, you know, like, yeah. Let's figure out how to convey the value of what we're all trying to bring to these people. Let's all get better at that so that, you know, you can kind of elbow out like the hacks and the guys that, you know, come in with the low pricing that are killing you, you know? So I watch all these little groups popping up online. And part of what we were talking about the other day is one of my favorite things to watch happen is when you see in one of the larger groups, you'll see a couple of people that connect. They're like, oh, you know, you're in, you know, lower Michigan, I'm over here. And the guy's like, oh, I'm right over here. And you got guys that are working right alongside each other that don't even know they're working alongside. It's like, oh, I'm right down the road from you.
Yeah.
You know? And then what happens next is this awesome little magical thing where you'll see those guys create their own group. There's like all these little splinter groups. So you have like Ohio tile setter group, you know, kind of splintering off from the larger group mm-hmm. because there's certain regional stuff that gets lost in the soup in a larger group. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like pricing, you know, is going to be different, you know, maybe from one region to another, depending on what the economic conditions are there and all of that. Access to product is going to be different in different parts of the country, you know? So there are things that are more specific regionally that get lost in larger conversations. So you see these guys, you know, so you have, like I said, you know, the Philly Tile Area Alliance, the MOCAN group, you know, there's a South Dakota group, the Cali Tile Brigade. You have these guys and girls, people that are breaking off into these splinter groups. And then the conversations get different and much more interesting because then you see people that are shopping from the same distributors, you know, sometimes bidding on the same jobs, dealing with the same climate. You know, there's these very, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, they have things in common that the larger groups don't.
Yeah.
And
then
the conversations start to get really good because then you see cool stuff happening where, you know, like I was telling you the other day, where, you know, somebody's short on, you know, you kind of build a rapport with someone, you like the way they talk, they make funny jokes that you get, mm-hmm. you know, you get this kind of personal interaction with them in these groups. So you get, you know what, he seems like a decent guy. And then when the day comes that guy is like one board short on something or gets in a jam where, you know, his helper, you know, gets sick and he's shorthanded in the middle of a big job, because you have that personal rapport with that person and you figure he's like a good guy trying to, you know, do good work. I've got the board that he needs and I'm only, you know, 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people start to interact in this super communal way where it's like, I'll help you out, dude. You know, and it doesn't matter that, you know, he could have had his company could have had that job and he didn't get the job. But you know what? You know, you help each other out. And that's my favorite part of when I see these groups coming up and people, you know, learning to not fear each other and understand like we're all in the same boat trying to do the same thing. We all have the same problems, you know, and unless you're some kind of jerk that nobody wants to help, mm-hmm. if you participate in the community, you know, you heart or click like, or, you know, give an attaboy to somebody who posts some good work or, you know, you get these relationships that really start to mean something. I've watched people start businesses together as a result of having met each other in one of these communities. I've had, you know, watched people, you know, share help. Well, I got a couple of guys that I'm having trouble keeping busy right now and you're shorthanded. Let me, you know, be able to retain my guys mm-hmm. instead of sending them home. I'll send them to work for you this week. You know, I mean, that's such a beautiful thing when it happens. But you got to show up for it.
Well, and that's exactly,
you don't even know this is going on. So, you know, you got to show up for it.
Well, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I'm cheating myself by not building something in my local community. So the apartment complex is one example, but there's a lot of us initially showed up in these online groups because we wanted to learn how to be better installers. I think we need to take that back. And we need to put it in our local communities, like you're talking about. We need to get involved and we need to push the bar there. Like we've pushed it now that there's a great, there's a number of us that are like, yeah, man, we're going to be the best. Like this, we can push the limits of what's possible on all these things. And now, like you said, you can kind of start elbowing out some hacks and people that aren't bringing a good name to the trade. If you can get involved in that community and build those relationships, and you don't care that John is bidding the same job as you, and you're just happy that, hey man, okay, he won that one and I won this one, and we can both pay for some dance lessons and baseball in the spring or whatever it's going to be, right? Like everybody's winning, but you're raising that bar, you're building that community, and you're letting it become something more than just, we do the same thing, but I don't like you because you're trying to get that job and you don't do it as well. Well, maybe nobody ever took the time to teach them. How many hacks could be made great if they had the right teacher? You know, you don't know until you try. Like you've got it. Some people are smart enough to go seek the information. Some people don't know they want it until they're offered it. So you at least offer it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And if
definitely true.
Forget it. Like if they turn you down, they turn you down. But you're not losing anything by trying to offer it. Look, we all get told no all the time. Go do a bid. How many no's do you get? Big deal. You're going to get a yes at some point, and it's going to make a difference.
Well, it's, you know, these things become more or less difficult too, depending on, you know, every market's different. You know, some are much more fierce than others. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in, you know, maybe like a rural area where, you know, there's only two or three guys that do that thing.
For sure.
And there's only so many jobs to go around. Competition gets a little more fierce, you know, and some of your information is better maybe kept a little more private as far as like, you know, pricing and stuff like that. There's an argument to be made for that too. You have other places where, you know, there's a lot more hacks, right? Because there's just a higher density of people, you know, like the area that I'm in, you know, I mean, I always joke with people, and it's a sad joke to tell, but you know, if you decide somebody has tile work available, you go to Home Depot, you buy yourself a trowel, and like, you're a tile guy.
I mean I can do the same thing, right? Like I'm in Phoenix, so it's a city of 4.5 million people. There's plenty of other people doing what I do, just like in your area, but there's so many that if you want to start, you can start. Like there's nothing stopping you. There's plenty of work to go around. Whereas, like you said, yes, in a rural area, in a town of 1,000 people, if there's two guys doing tile, yeah, you might get into some spats about it.
Right. But I think also there's another aspect of, you know, having the local community kind of get established, you know, whether like we're talking about social media groups, there's other things too. But I think that one of the things that one of my little like pet projects recently is to get more involved in the other side of it, right? So the consumer awareness. Because, you know, part of this is like a chicken and an egg thing, and both sides of it have to be worked, where, you know, if the consumer has no method of discerning who the hacks are and who they aren't, that's a problem.
Yes.
You know, because there are plenty of people who, if they were aware of, you know, how to tell the difference, and if the people knew, the installers knew how to present themselves as having that type of credential, there's like this breakdown in communication. You know, you go on Angie's List, or you go on, you know, what's the other one? Home Advisor. I don't know. You go on these places as a consumer, and it's like, you know, anybody that Annie's up can be on those things. You have that, it means nothing, you know? But I think that there's strength in numbers, and in when you get a bunch of like-minded people talking about what's going on in their community, how are the consumers being reached in our community? What do they know about what we do and what qualifies as, you know, good or not? You can start having those conversations and then start brainstorming about like, how can we change that? You know, like, two heads are better than one, 10 heads are, you know, 10 times better. But to be able to affect your market as a group is a much more powerful and effective thing that you can do in your community than if you're all just kind of working in a vacuum, doing the best you can, you know, figuring out, you know, when you show up at whatever it is, you know, your local home show or your local bulletin board or wherever it is that your community, like, where do your customers go looking for installers in your area? You know, there's lots of different places they could be going. How do you make sure that they find you? You know, those are things that you can discuss with each other, and to show up in force means something that's way more meaningful. So raising the bar in your community is one of the things that can come out of the conversations that happen in these tiny groups. I don't know if I fleshed that out fully, as clear as it is to me in my head, you know, but,
well, there's a lot going on.
I want to see that happen. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see that happen for people, where, the consumers in the community can be affected, as well as the installers being built up by these small, small little tile groups happening.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of potential is what I'm trying to say. I see all kinds of potential, just born out of just, you know, the simple truth that there's strength in numbers. Well, yeah, but you have to build your numbers to have that strength.
I mean, you can look at all the things that are happening on the national level, and if you could do that locally, it's going to strengthen you locally, but it's going to strengthen you nationally as well, because you'd get more people participating there. And you know, you were saying, like, hey, you know, how can you help educate consumers to be more aware of standard practices, and that we do it differently, and this is why the costs are higher with us, but this is the way it's supposed to be done, and this is, you know, it's a craft, it's not a commodity. There's plenty of things going on that you need to educate them on, and it goes back to giving information away to me, right? Like, I'm more than happy to tell my clients how to do a lot of things. Doesn't bother me, because most of them are going to say, that's hard, I don't want to deal with it. And they're going to hire me anyways. And the ones that do, they probably weren't ever really my client to begin with, because they had the gumption to attempt it and at least find out about it. Like, and I'd rather they learn from me than calling Bob down the street, who I know is going to lead them the wrong way. So at least now they have good information. And so if you own a shop, maybe it, you know, everyone always complains about how the box stores do the trainings and they're so bad and they're horrible. If you have a shop, man, why don't you put on your own trainings? Get people in there, or do something for the kids, you know, so you can get mom and dad in there doing something and you can do something for the kids. My son and my daughter love to go to Home Depot and build their stupid Saturday morning projects that are like cheap, and they put out the paint and they got a couple nails and you use some glue. But you know what? My kids are now going to be adults and they're going to say, oh, I got to go shop at Home Depot, or I got to take my kids to the Home Depot so that they can do that. Because I guarantee you they'll still be doing it if they're around. They're brainwashing little children to love them. Exactly. And it's great. Like, from a marketing standpoint, it's awesome. But then everyone gets mad and hates on the box stores, but they're not paying attention to the marketing. Why aren't you doing the same thing in your little business?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly.
You have to be about your community in order for your community to be about you. If you are just about the dollar signs, people are going to see right through you that you just want the sale. But if you put out there that you are about the community and trying to grow it and help it, and that money that you're earning is being reinvested into it to make it better, the dividends you will receive will be so much better than trying to run an ad on the radio or in a magazine or going to the home show. There's so many better ways to do it.
Absolutely. And I think being good to people, understanding the position that they're in. I mean, we're all on both sides of this, right? Like, we're service providers as installers, but we're also consumers of other things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of put yourself in either place, you know. I was just thinking as you were talking of this, there's like a local home show up at the community college. And generally when you go to those home shows, it's like, for some reason, it's always like a ton of window guys and siding guys, banks that are showing up trying to, you know, give loans and financing for things. And, you know, it's like this, it's kind of this almost predictable, weird collection of people that always show up for these home shows. And, but there was a guy there, who was a little bit of, you know, like a personality, right? He was like on HGTV, on television or whatever. And he was doing a, talk on how to choose a good contractor. And, I went there because I had, you know, in my capacity as Schluter, I had been called upon to go to one of his job sites and do some work with him. Right. So we became friendly. And when I found out he was coming to my local area, I was excited. So that's why I went, you know, cause I was like, oh, I'm going to go see Steve. $1 Million Contractor was his show, his name. Really, really nice guy. So I show up for the show and he's supposed to do this talk about how to choose a good contractor. I was shocked at how many people, it was like every homeowner at that show sat in his talk.
Oh yeah.
And I watched and it was like, they're hungry for this because they understand the disadvantage that they're at. They understand the danger of hiring a hack and the fact that they don't know how to choose a good one. Right. So everybody's sitting in there listening to him and he's going through the list of, you know, kind of how to vet somebody, what kind of questions to ask, what to look for, what to look out for. And these people were just eating up that knowledge. And I thought, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, gosh, it would be so cool if you had, you know, 3, 4, 5 handful of local, you know, installers, you know, contractors, businesses, whatever, who got together, pooled their money, because I'm sure you gotta, you know, pay to play, right?
Oh,
you,
sure.
To have a slot at the time show. But how cool would it be if they all got together and talked about just those things? You know, this is what to look out for. You know, not selling themselves like you need to hire me.
Correct.
At least not overtly.
Correct.
But selling themselves in the sense that they're presenting themselves as an expert. You know, they're presenting themselves as someone who's willing to share their knowledge to help the customer get what they're looking for. Like, what a beautiful thing that would be to have a bunch of guys from the local community who are all bidding on the same jobs, doing the same thing, show up as a unified, you know, group invested in helping the consumer get good, you know, hire the right person. Like, those are the kind of things that, you know, when you start talking to your buddies and your peers in your community, those are the kind of things that could be possible.
Yes.
You know, automatically, if you're a homeowner sitting in there listening, you know, those guys are going to get work from showing up for that kind of thing. But it also has the additional, you know, result of informing the community how to, you know, tell the difference between the hacks and the good guys, you know? So that dual purpose of not only serving yourself, but serving, you know, your community. That's like, that's the long view. That's the investment, right? Like that pays dividends. And I wish more people would see it like that and do it. I mean, well, I see it happening though. Like I said, these splinter groups that are happening, all that stuff is becoming possible. Like we're barely scratching the surface now, I think, of what's possible when people unite. Social media, you know, Facebook specifically creates the possibility for that. And as people kind of get curious and show up to the watering hole, well, what's going on in this group? I'm from that area. Let me join the, you know, Philly tile, you know, Philly area tile alliance, or whatever, you know, the little groups are. It's like, well, I'm in Philly and I'm setting tile. What are these guys talking about in here? You know, and you get curious, you become a member, you check it out, you know, you kind of vet everybody who's, you know, who seems like a good guy, who seems knowledgeable, who appears to be respected in this group, you know, and you kind of sidle up. It's like, you know, there's this awkward period of time where everybody has to learn to trust each other and kind of, you know, so I watch those things happen. And then once they get to that comfort level and that threshold is crossed, then they start getting into action, you know, and then I get to witness, like I have a little peephole into all this, you know, because I'm in there every day and I start to watch how these little communities develop. And then I watch, what are they doing? What's, you know, what are the results of these guys getting together? And it's amazing what's possible, but it takes time. You know, the group has to be established. People have to be drawn to it. Like I said, people have to get to know each other, kind of feel each other out. There's, you know, always people popping up that are there for the wrong reasons that kind of, you know, get elbowed out. It's like, you know, there's this whole evolution of these little mini communities that happens, you know, which is really, really fun and interesting to watch. But yeah, I mean, the possibilities, I think, like I said, we're only scratching the surface of what's possible when we gather, you know, for a purpose, a greater purpose than just serves our individual business.
Correct.
A lot of possibility there.
And I think that's the key, right? Everyone's, the big complaint is, oh, we don't get any respect. Oh, the trade's dying. Oh, this, that, the other thing. What are you doing to bring it back, to make it stronger, to grow it, to give it some really strong roots? Not that, look, tile's not going away, but if you want it to be, wood flooring's not going away. Like, these things exist, right? Like, the LVP is not going to kill everything. No matter what you think, it's not going to happen. So
floors aren't going away. Correct. We can say that safely.
Yes,
people are always going to be walking on floors.
It doesn't matter what the new thing's going to be, right? If you learn it and do it and find a way to make it more interesting than the standard way, but like you got to be willing to grow and help make the bigger thing grow, instead of just being locked inside your own little world doing your own little thing and then it dies with you.
Yeah, no, and that's at the heart of it. What you just said is absolutely at the heart of it, is that, you know, taking that view of, you know, always trying to convince people to understand, you know, you're part of, like, a trade is a beautiful, honorable, noble thing, right?
But I think you're,
I think so. And I hope that, you know, the people who I think have some nobler purposes, maybe than just making a buck,
mm-hmm.
right? Understand that. And those are the people who are more likely to share their knowledge, you know, and to help build up the next generation and things like that, because, you know, they have a love of the trade and the lifestyle and all of that, you know what I mean? And they want to see that survive. And so you kind of understand that, you know, you need to feed that. Floors aren't going to go away, right? Floor coverings might change, trends come and go, whatever. But, you know, you're always going to need somebody to show up and do, you know, and you're going to pay somebody to do the things that you don't know how to do, right? So, mm-hmm. like, homeowners are always going to need you or somebody. But I think just investing in it from a standpoint that goes beyond you and your individual business and your career, you know, that's the stepping outside your, you know, self-centered or selfish motivations and trying to be a part of the greater good. Like, that's the bridge that we're talking about encouraging people to walk across. To understand that it's not just about you. I have this conversation a lot with people when I talk about, like, the NTCA, you know, like, why should I join the NTCA? It's not about how being a member of the NTCA is going to, certainly there's a value that's going to improve, you know, your business, right? Like, there's tools and rewards to becoming a member that are going to immediately impact your business in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, the contribution to the community, right? Like, it's not just about you. The NTCA becomes more powerful and can lobby in a way that for all of us, in a way that you can't as an individual. So you got to ante up. You got to throw your, you know, throw your weight behind it, you know, and if enough individuals throw their weight behind it, it becomes a pretty great weight, you know, and yeah. Real, you know, massive changes can occur. You know, maybe we can create a barrier to entry into the trade through licensing and things like that, you know, but in order to make that kind of big change that will help everyone happen, everybody has to do their part, you know? And so that's the bridge, right? Like I said, that we're trying to get people to walk across is to stop thinking that it's only about you and what you need and what you want in your business. That kind of selfish thinking will kill us.
Yes.
You know, if you know, you try to contribute to the greater good, take one for the team. You know, mm-hmm. We all win.
For
some
sure.
People don't want to walk across that bridge, you know, but for the people who do, there's places now for them to gather, all these little pockets on the internet where, you know, if you're of that mindset, what can I do? If you're coming to it, what can I get? You know, there's things you can get. If you're coming to it thinking, what can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do to make things better? There's places now where if you show up with that mindset, there are people there waiting for you who are like, yeah, you know, I got this big thing that I have this big idea that I can't do by myself. You want to help?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's exciting. I think it's an exciting time for us to all be, you know, meeting each other and connecting. It's just starting, you know?
For sure. And well, and I think everybody comes to the groups with that attitude of what can I get? But then they get, and the really passionate ones say, oh, how do I give back? Right? Your mindset changes as soon as you start receiving a lot, and you're like, oh shoot, like I can't just keep taking, like I have to give back. And that was essentially, I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it a million more times on this thing. I started this podcast for selfish reasons, because I wanted the info. I need to know how to run a better business. I need to know how to better connect with people. But if I'm going to do it, I might as well share it. There's no reason not to let other people in on the awesome conversations that are had. It would be silly not to. So as much as it was for selfish reasons, I knew there was an audience for it. And so it's a give and take thing. So,
yeah,
you know, and I went to the groups and it was like, oh, look, I can find out how to be a better installer. I can learn better techniques. I can learn all this stuff. But the more I participated, I just started realizing that, hey, I got an answer for that question. Like, I'll throw it out there. Hey, I can participate over here. I can do this thing over here. And so,
yeah,
sadly, I think it's human nature, right? Like you kind of always start off selfishly and then it grows to something else.
Well, yeah, it always has the potential to, you know. I think what's also cool about it is that it takes all kinds, you know, because like, you know, when you're in school and the teachers, you know, there's something complicated going on and like everybody's a little lost, but like nobody wants to admit that they're lost. And then there's like that one dude person who raises their hand and says, I don't understand what mm-hmm. you're talking about. You know, this, I'm confused about this. And everyone else like is like breathes a sigh of relief. Like, thank God somebody asked the question, because I didn't know either, but I wasn't brave enough to ask.
Yeah.
You know? So it's you never know who you're going to learn from, you know? I mean, we all have different experiences. We all have different perspectives, you know, unique perspectives based on our individual experience, you know? But it's like, as soon as you open your mouth and you start talking about your individual experience, you realize that you're not the only one, you know? And the more people that are in the room, the more that gets like, validated and confirmed over and over. It's like, oh, I'm not the only one who struggles with that. Thank God. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's like this momentum that comes from, like, it just takes that one, you know, either brave or naive person to blurt, you know, to break the ice. And then everyone's like, yeah, can we talk about that? We need to talk about that, you know?
Yes.
So it's like, you know, you have the people that have the experience and are afraid to speak up. You have the people who are afraid that they don't have anything to bring to the table because they're so new. But that's part of what they're bringing to the table, you know, is the ability to get the conversation started. You know, it's like, it's just, everybody has something to contribute, you know? I heard that also when I was listening to Ken's, you know, podcast. You never know who you're talking to. The person you're talking to could be your boss someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person that you're training could, you know, become your competition. They could become your rep. They could be, you know, I mean, we all change seats, you know? We need to get to know each other though. I think that's, you know, that's important. And,
yeah.
And to be open to having conversations with each other about, you know, what have you seen? What do you think? How do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what do you do when that happens? That's when, you step outside yourself, right? Like, cause you could just stay on your job, scratching your head, you know, and maybe with some, you know, a strong will and some elbow grease, you'll get it done. But, you know, I don't know. What kind of life is that?
Well, there's probably a better way, right? Like you can struggle or you can find a better way. There's a guy I listen to, Joe Polish. He always says the people you meet on the way up are going to be there on your way back down. So if you burn them on the way up, it ain't when you fall, man, it's going to be really hard. So,
right. Yeah.
Relationships are important and you don't know who you're dealing with or where they're going to be, especially these days. So many installers are being, I think the manufacturers are starting to realize that hiring installers for reps is a far better option than hiring just some random person that does sales, because it's, I'm going to trust somebody that did what I did better than some guy that's just like this scummy salesman, right? Like you get that used car salesman feel and you're just like, eh, I don't want to deal with you. But like, oh, you did what I did and we're the same? Okay. Like, tell me about your product. So.
Right. No, and that's something that Schluter's already, you know, was all over, you know, a long time. I mean, even when they hired me, I was like, you do know that I don't know anything about sales, right?
But you do, because you were, that's the biggest thing. You weren't, the minute you started your business, you weren't an installer, you were a salesperson, among many other things.
That's true, even though I was blissfully unaware of that, I guess.
Correct. Well, and that's the education point.
Right, but, and what I said also, you know, when we first started about, you know, the peer sharing, you know, it's like there's a certain trust level built in, you know, if mm-hmm. somebody has walked in your shoes that you can, you know, you can trust what they're saying. Whereas, you know, a salesperson is going to be motivated by making sales, you know?
Yes.
I think that I definitely see a lot more manufacturers. I don't know if, you know, there were other people doing it when I became aware of Schluter's, you know, practice, but that's generally how, you know, they always hired people was, you know, your territory grows to the point where, you know, you need help to be effective and you look around and say who's out here using our products, knows our products, believes in our philosophy and our products, you know, and those are the people that get hired, you know.
Yeah.
Like I didn't ask for this job. They just called me up one day and said, we have a position and we think you're the right person. And I was like, I think you're probably mistaken. And they were like, no, you have everything that we need you to have. You know how to use the products. You know how they work. You're not afraid to talk to people. And, you know, you're generally appear to be inclined to help people.
Yeah.
What more could you want from a sales rep? You know,
you're hired. We're giving you the job. Just say yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I think, you know, that sharing of information, again, you know, amongst peers, goes back to what, you know, what we've been kind of, you know, harping on here. I don't, harping is negative, but, you know, what we're trying to drive home here, I think, in our conversation is just the idea that we all, if you're doing this for a living, you know stuff. And you probably know different stuff than I do, because you're not me. So let's get together and share, pool our knowledge so that we can all draw from all of it instead of staying in this little, you know, bubble. Sorry for the traffic.
Yeah. My dogs barked earlier. It's okay. They like pushed the door open. The door doesn't close here. So the one like walked in, the other one saw the mic stand and didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, all go right. Puppies. No, I think yeah, that's an amazing summary. I'm not even gonna try. You took my job away.
Well, okay. I definitely, you know, but that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's like let's pool it all together, pile it up, and then you can come to it whenever you want and take what you need. Take what you need and leave the rest. You know.
Well, and then, you know, learn to drop a little in yourself. Come and take it first, right? Like I said, I think everyone's going to come and take. Don't take it
all.
It's
like the little pick-a-penny thing. It's the little pick-a-penny thing at the,
yes,
at the convenience store,
right? Yes,
there's
great analogy, right? Yes, that's beautiful. Take a penny, leave a penny. I love it. Right. Sometimes somebody throws in a dime.
Everybody needs a penny.
Yeah.
Right.
There
right.
it is. Yeah. Ah, that's beautiful. Oh, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. We use too many cards. We're not.
Well,
I'm not even going to get
shortage,
in on that.
Right?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet. it's just nowhere too digital. Everyone. And honestly, man, you get me started. Those cards. The chip takes longer than swiping, and just the card in general, I feel, takes longer than cash. Although with young kids now, I think cash transactions take longer because they don't know how to do any math. So.
Yeah, it's painful when you go and you watch the person, like, you know, when the computer screen, like, you know, jams up and they have to actually, you know, do math.
Yes.
It's a little bit
46
painful.
Cents.
But that's,
how many pieces of change is that? I don't know. I can grab this one and geez. That's a different conversation.
That's a whole other thing. But the pick a penny things still exist.
Yes.
I see them.
Okay.
I see them. So it's still a worthwhile concept, you know? You got if you have extra change, you throw some in, and if you're a little short, it's there for you. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
That it is. Well, I think that does it. I think that just sums it up nicely. It's go and participate, whether nationally, locally, internationally. Find a spot. Start doing something. Build what you're passionate about and keep it going. Make it better for the next generation. And that's, if we can show them that that's the way, I that's going to be so much better, right? Any of these young bucks, young gals starting out, if we can show them that education and participating locally and growing communities is the way to do it, this trade will be so much better off.
Yeah,
than how we found it.
Yep, no doubt. And you'll you know, you'll benefit individually along the way as well. Like, that's, you know, part of it. But the greater good.
Yes. Well, yep. Shannon, thank you.
I think we did it.
I think so. Maybe. I know we could go pick something else and go for another hour. I don't know if anybody wants to do that right now, though. So,
no, I mean,
I think that was just a good natural thing. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I'm kind of glad your package was late. I'm sorry to say. This way you weren't in a car, so it kind of worked out better for me.
Yeah, I'm in my pajamas. I'm pretty happy. I'm off now. I took some vacation time, so today is a vacation day.
Okay.
For me. And I'm in my jammies. And this was a pleasure. I'm glad that you asked. I think also, I just want to say, you know, in the interest of being helpful, if anyone who's listening to this wants to start a local, you know, group, you know, I know a little bit about how that works and how to get it going. I can probably help get the word out as well. You know, if some of these guys, I know I talked to a guy in California one time, you know, where we had this conversation about how there was some stuff going on regionally with him that he felt was different from what he was seeing talked about in the larger groups, but there was no group, yeah. You know? And I was like, well, dude, don't wait for somebody else to make it. You can do it. You know, yep. you get on Facebook, you pick up, you know, the create a group option, you give it a name so people know what it is, include the word, you know, tile or flooring or whatever your thing is and your region. And then when you're in those larger groups and you see somebody say that they're from your area, you send them a private message and you say, hey, I'm making a group for just us guys from this area, you know, and they're, oh, really? You know, and they grow that way. You know, so, you know, you can go online and you can do a search for your region using some, you know, keywords and whatever your thing is. And maybe there's a group already in existence that you can join. But if there isn't, you can make one. It's not hard. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time. It can, you know, you can get lost. But it doesn't have to. You know, you can create the group and just, you know, and get the ball rolling. You know, if you build it, they will come, right? So I think if anybody, you know, feels apprehensive about that or doesn't know how it works, you know, I can help with that. You know, if anybody wanted to reach out to me, how do I get it going? You know, I would be willing to help somebody with that. So
that's
just want to put that out there.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you can help with many other things. So, and look, I got the Floor Academy group. So come there. We get discussions going on the business side of things, what the trade should do, what the trade shouldn't do. I've got Arizona Flooring Installers group that I'm trying to start because I do need to plug in locally. So there's things happening. Besides helping people start groups and besides asking about Schluter products, I'm sure people can contact you for other things. So how do they get a hold of you?
Usually pretty easy to find. I think the easiest way is if you just did a search for the Schluter girl, you would find me. If you did a search for the tile girl, you would probably find me. Using my name, you know, is helpful. I have a phone number I could offer.
If you're comfortable,
email, you know, I don't know if you want to do
you,
that.
If you are comfortable throwing that stuff out there, you are more than welcome to. It's going to be on the internet and it everyone can find it. I'm sure they already can, but that's a different story.
I want people to find me. Okay. That's fine. My phone number is 732-977-6180. And anybody, you know, that's interested in this sort of thing for all those reasons, like you said. So if somebody had any questions about, you know, Schluter, that's fully my wheelhouse. You can call me anytime and I'll connect you with whatever resources you need for that. If you have questions about, you know, social media groups, I'm open to that conversation. You know, but generally, you know, the Schluter girl, any kind of search on the internet for the Schluter girl, you would end up with me, you know? So, that's probably good enough for people to be able to find me if they wanted to.
I like it. Let's make sure that we do not confuse Shannon, that tile girl, with the other Shannon.
Right. There's tile chick. Chicks. There's the tile lady. There's several. So yeah.
I actually still own
thetilegirl.com. I don't use that website anymore, but I still own it because it's mine and I can't give it up.
You shouldn't. But there's now little short Shannon. And she's that tile chick. So like, so don't get them confused because they're both Shannon. So you got to search the right Shannon.
I'm sure
here.
There's things she could be helpful with. If you want me specifically, and that's kind of why I created like the Schluter girl thing, because I think that, you know, that's, there's only one of those.
Yes.
So
far, hopefully not more.
So far, I'm trying to convince, you know, other people to get on board and help me out. But so far it's just me out here.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
all right, cool.
Enjoy your day. Thank you for giving up the time to me, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yes. All of that to you too. I hope we talk again soon.
I'm sure we will. Bye.
Okay, bye.
That's all the time we have for this week. To keep the conversation going, head on over to the Fleur Academy Facebook group. Be sure to subscribe so you can hear each and every episode. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and most major podcast directories. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you think about the show. If you would like to be a guest, have questions or feedback, you can email us at fleuracademypodcast@gmail.com. You can help support the show by becoming a patron over at www.patreon.com/fleuracademy. Remember to learn while you earn.